You're listening to Short Track America.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
They say those who can't play, coach. Apparently those who can't coach sit 30 rows back, shirtless, shouting obscenities.
Oh, that's right, motherfucker.
Thanks to you, our team is armed with game-winning tips like catch the ball and throw it.
Shout it out loud.
You stink. That sucks. What a bunch of losers. Not just catcalls, but subtle psychological ploys to prod your team to victory.
Reverse psychology.
So here's to you, oh Sultan of Shouting, because while there may be no I in team, thanks to you, there's always an F and a U. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
But this family right now needs, first of all, a lot of prayers and support. Disease is, it's a form of leukemia. It's going to be at Orlando Speed World. It's going to be December 8th and 9th. And it's a unique deal. Nobody's ever done one. It's a 200-lap truck race. And that's what I want. I want it to be run professional, fair. But in the end, everybody has a good time and the family benefits. And it's basically it. We're going to have mini cup races, legend cars, and we're going to have the big truck race. But the neat thing on Friday night is we're going to have first round qualifying for the trucks. Then we're going to run a mini cups, junior mini cups, the mini cup, adult guy. And then we're going to have barbecue and music and a celebrity auction. It's going to be at Orlando Speed World. It's going to be December 8th and 9th. And it's a unique deal. Nobody's ever done one. It's a 200-lap truck race.
USA. I'm Rick Angies.
I'm Bill Green.
I'm the color guy, Jack Smith. And not the color guy, the color guy.
You're colored guy.
Oh, easy, guys. Easy.
Hey.
Another great night of Real Racing USA brought to you over the Short Track America networks. What do you mean the last 24 hours?
Over the last 24 hours, it's just been awesome. Awesome.
You had really? Awesome?
Well, it has been awesome, but we have a great show for you lined up tonight.
I was the only one. It was so much fun.
Some of us had to work.
I appreciate that. I'm glad what you do at AutoZone is an awesome job, brother.
Okay, while these guys are mumbling around, I'm going to tell you guys what we're having on here tonight. We're having spaghetti and meatballs. No, that's a different menu. Arca Knights
tonight.
Frank Kimmel, 68 wins, finally won at Talladega. He's with us tonight.
Absolutely.
That's going to be awesome because we're going to talk a little bit about the lost generation of drivers. And I got a chance last night to talk to Michael Waltrip. I didn't get to tape it because he was a little busy with other stuff, but I asked him about that same situation with the pickup that they did on David Ruderman. David Ruderman, 36 years of age, a little up there, but yet they picked him up for a good reason.
I've got to change my hat.
They have good reasons.
Nice hat.
Why they picked him up.
Nice hat.
And you'll pick up on a lot of that as you go through and get a lot of the information throughout the internet and around the country this weekend. There's a
And in the second hour, we'll have Stephen Wallace. He ran second to Frank Kimmel there. We're trying to intro the show, Bill.
Yeah, Bill wants to talk about David Rudiman.
Well,
he's playing Paul yesterday.
He's famous now.
I know.
No. I was just going to say that
Stephen Wallace. He finished second to Frank Kimmel.
Nice
running the ARCA.
Off.
Rusty Wallace's son.
And Michael Falk from Ocala, Florida, who in his very first appearance ever at Talladega finished eighth, ran the top five most of the day, actually led a bunch of laps. Great, great run.
You know, I didn't look at the results. Was Dwayne Bryan in that race?
No.
Dwayne Bryan wasn't.
Ryan Silas was in it. He didn't fare so well. Mario Gosselin hung around the back, didn't do anything, and then broke.
That was the one, the whole world was watching that Talladega race.
And Scott McAllister is going to be with us from Ocala, too. I'm still doing it, Bill. I just stepped all over you. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying that we were talking about Talladega, and Juan Pablo Montoya was in that race, and that was very important to the rest of the world.
Started second. Outside.
I was impressed.
And he finished.
I was impressed.
Second.
Yeah. I was impressed.
He didn't finish second. Stephen Wallace finished second in the race.
Well, he was third.
He was right up there. It was great. It was impressive. Scott McAllister was over there with those guys, and he's going to be with us tonight to give people who've never been there a sense of the insanity of Talladega.
Oh, it's like, man, it's got to be like all your senses come into play. You smell it, taste it, feel it, breathe it. Good heavens.
Big race.
Awesome.
Big
awesome
race. Place.
Anyway, there's an awful lot on the tonight.
And then, of course, Bill Green spent the day yesterday hobnobbing with
All the stars.
The
mayor of Zephyr Hills.
But it's really such a great down-home feeling when you get around that entire Rudiman family. It's really awesome.
It's a down-home feeling anytime you're in Zephyr Hills, Florida.
This is true. The entire town turned out, they said, but I know it wasn't. But there was like 350 people showing up, so it was pretty cool.
Besides the ARCA race at Talladega, we had the NASCAR race. Brian Bickard Sunday.
Brian Bickard's got his name in the news again, didn't he?
You know, a little Brian Bickard's. I never forget.
Little Brian Bickard.
This was really cool. When him and John Wood were rookies in the Hooters Pro Cup, it was so funny. There was one time those guys were out, little kids. I mean, they were like 16. They weren't little kids, but they were 16. They're out there before the race one day. They're racing. What are them little scooters? Not electric ones, just push scooters. They raced a lap around Lakeland. Just being kids.
In scooters, yeah.
And thank God they were kids.
Yeah. And now the kid's out wrecking people to win races. Hey, way to go, Brian.
Way to go, yeah. Brian.
Oh,
winner at Talladega.
Play in the background?
Oh.
Yeah. If you have to, move them.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, there was some interesting stuff on Karnak's message board about
the Florida one.
The Florida one.
That one where all the people, the experts, are.
The experts, man. There was actually math and stuff on.
We've got more people that are experts than you've ever known. That's all I can tell you.
The guy used to tell me the definition of expert, but I don't remember what it was. Okay,
that's knowing the right piece of information at the right time.
Of course, Junior in the NASCAR stuff has done a lot better than Vickers, but then you go to late models.
This. Oh, look. How about that?
In late models,
Showstopper.
Junior had 114 starts and 3 wins from 1994 to 96. Brian Vickers had 6 wins in 1999 by the age of 16. 2 wins in Hooter Cups, 22 starts with 2 wins in the Hooters Cup in 2001. And this is posted by Fastlane 28, and his comment to that is, if Earnhardt's last name was Vickers, nobody would have ever known about him.
Ooh,
ouch.
Ouch. So right now?
Here we go. Fastlane 28 said, here's a few stats about Vickers and Junior. Junior in the late model had 100 before he went to NASCAR in Busch, had 114 starts with 3 wins from 94 to 96. Vickers had 6 wins in 1999 at the age of 16, 2 wins in Hooters Pro Cup in 2000, and 22 starts with 2 wins in Hooters Cup in 2001.
This looks like it'd be perfect on that head over there. That's your new hat.
There you go.
Hey, they said give it away.
All right. Good job.
That's an aerial rose over there.
Yeah. Rock and roll.
And also big news this week.
So wait, do you believe that?
What?
That expert.
Well, he didn't say he was an expert. It's Fastlane 28. Right. He got his name mentioned three times already.
Cool.
But the other big news this week was...
train coming.
Mark Martin going to a Chevrolet. Going to MB2 Motorsports. Bobby Ginn and them guys are going to put Martin... Now, a couple of weeks ago, you said that it was going to be a youth movement in the Army car.
That's right. That's right, I did.
Wrong.
I was wrong?
Wrong. Mark Martin's getting in that car.
He's that's not a youth
movement. That's a lot of long way from you.
That Viagra must work.
Longer running, lasting Mark Martin.
Stop it.
Yeah, but Joe Nemechek did go elsewhere.
Yeah,
we were right on
Joe's
that.
Not going to leave.
Well, he's going to have a front row seat everywhere.
The Hopkins family trucker, he's got like 19 laps left to go. I just popped in for a couple more laps on that, so you guys get with Rick Bristol on that, 407-497-0448, if you want to be part of the Hopkins family truck race.
Orlando Speed World, still got December 8th and 9th.
Still got some tickets for sale, or some laps for sale, doesn't he?
Plenty of tickets.
Yeah.
Laps for sale. What about the big thing, I think, this weekend? What about them Bigleys at DeSoto?
That was very, very cool.
That was so awesome.
They're going to come up from Naples maybe next week, but at sometime in the next few weeks they're going to come up. The whole family's coming up to join us here at the Snook River Grill. But that was really special. I was in the pits walking around before the races, and I saw the little kids, and I hadn't seen them, Dylan and Corey, since they were like real little. And they were both in race cars. I went over and took their picture, took each one of their picture by their car. The next thing you know, they're out there on the racetrack, and Dylan wins.
Dylan wins hands down.
Hands down.
Hands down.
It was, and I videotaped. It was so much fun. I'm looking for Billy and his wife Kim, and I couldn't find. I finally found Senior, and he said he's got to be down there somewhere. So they were way over on the hill in turn three, and I got up close to them, and I videotaped them doing the lap during the last lap, which was far better than the race.
Billy's had some huge wins over his career. I mean, huge wins. But I don't think one was ever bigger than that one Saturday night.
He told me yesterday, he called me, and he told me that when he got into the super late model race that night, he didn't care what happened. He'd already had his win that night.
Yeah, when I interviewed him on the front stretch, he said something very similar to that. Now, you got to realize, though, the first time that Dylan brought that car out, he flipped it.
Yeah.
Rolled it right over and got back in it. Now he's a winner.
Yeah. What do you got, Bill?
I'm looking for something. I had to go.
Bill's over there making funny noises.
Well, that was accidental, but it had to happen.
Yeah, okay, whatever.
Okay, we cannot name names, and you know this.
Why not?
This Karnak thing about we always like lay out some stuff that's going to happen, you know, and we've been pretty
look what they did
accurate predicting the Florida racing weather anyway, and some of the NASCAR weather.
Uh-huh.
The NASCAR weather, we got.
There is going to be, we predict there is going to be a major track ownership change, and we're not talking Charlotte or Auburndale. It's going to be a major track ownership change in the next 3 months.
Young guy?
Well, no.
North, south, east, west?
No hints.
No hints?
Oh.
I don't know. Dead air.
Empire gets bigger.
So, Bill?
The Empire strikes back.
Yeah, where were you yesterday?
I spent, after about 10 o'clock in the morning, I headed for Zephyr Hills, Florida. Went to Rudiman Racing. Met with Buzzy, his ex-wife Linda, and sister Joy. And we all went to lunch at
Zephyr Hills Restaurant.
Yeah. I started to say I wasn't going to say the name.
Excuse me, just for 1 minute, bro. In case you folks don't know what we spend the first 15 minutes of our show
babbling
to each other, so just bear
with us.
We did the last week,
we cut Bill off constantly.
Yeah, we interrupt Bill. That's we practice that.
Yes, my wife is screaming bloody murder about it. Anyway,
was
they,
it cutting you off?
I don't know, but no, let's not try to irritate her any worse than what it is. Anyway, the,
can we give her the phone number?
It was very,
cool
very
down,
nice.
Karen. Cool down.
It was very, very nice to spend the day over there because yesterday was the big announcement. And they did this announcement. Michael Waltrip Racing did it by bringing anybody and everybody to Rudiman Racing. They flew them in. They brought them in. Whether it was the Aaron's people, the Burger King people, the Domino's people, they were all there. They brought them all. Trust me, it was a big entourage. There was, I think it took six of those big SUVs to bring them all out. And when they got there, the Rudimans were told to invite their close family members not to tell the media. Well, I've been a family member, I guess, for a while because my dad raced with them years ago, and I just hung around and kind of played.
Get to the point.
Well, there was 350 people in the backyard when they showed up. That's the point. It was pretty awesome. It was a lot of fun, and it was just such an awesome night.
It was a close-kept secret, right?
Yeah, it was fairly close-kept.
And we have some audio from
it was an awesome night for David Rudiman, honoring him. Now, what they did, of course, was they announced the actual fact and had all the different Burger King and Domino's, you know, say their words about why they chose David and that kind of thing. Well, I'm still getting your voice over something else, though. Okay. But the trick was, after they did that, then they had Domino's Pizza bring pizza, not, you know, $1,400 worth of pizza. And then they went back and did an hour's roast of David, and that was the awesome part. I hope people go online.
And we're going to play some of that video later, not right now. Oh, yeah. I think it's coming up on our break time.
Should be.
Hit it, Bill.
Hey, well, you always...
I jumped in you.
Yeah, no, it just goes back.
So we'll be back with
back to
Stephen Wallace.
Stephen Wallace coming up.
Frank Kimmel.
Will you keep talking?
I'm thinking.
30 minutes of music. About 30 seconds.
Don't go far, folks. We're back as we snip in the grill.
Send your hand on the dirt. Love is standing behind you. Throw down your bed. Don't let your confidence find you. It's too much at stake.
Hi, I'm Anthony Canby, driver of the number 81 Waterside Realty Royalties Fast Truck, and you're listening to Real Racing USA.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Discount Airline Pilot Guy.
Mr. Discount Airline Pilot Guy.
Your minimal experience flying a plane will never land you at a reputable airline. Luckily, you don't work for one.
Look at me, I'm flying.
Sure, we're concerned for our lives. Just not as concerned as saving $9 on a round trip to Fort Myers. The most direct route to Houston, through Fort Lauderdale, with layovers in Detroit, Vancouver, and Kalamazoo.
I can't feel my leg.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Lido, skipper of the skies. You put the fly in Fly By Night operation.
Mr. Discount and I'm Pilot Guy.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates and they reserve the right to buy back the vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neon. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
Welcome back. It's Real Racing USA at the Snook River Grill. We are live. You come by, drop by, and join the party.
You didn't ask me the address, Bill.
2505.
All right, Rick, I'll crank you up even more. How about that?
Okay, I got it now. I'm good.
What's your address? 2505.
Manatee Avenue East. East.
Oh, I always say East Manatee Avenue, but whatever.
Whatever.
Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay.
Manatee.
Smith River.
Manatee County.
Raiden River.
Raiden in Florida.
We're just a suburb of Tampa, Florida.
Tampa Bay. All right, with us right now, we've got the driver of the number 95 Cowboy Cadillac, won his first feature event this past Saturday night, Anthony Easton. How did he do it?
Well, how did he do that? There's been some guys racing in things forever that just don't like
new kids coming along.
A lot of kids don't, you know, they got new kids on the block.
Go ahead and just ignore him and answer the question.
We need a remote control for his volume.
I know.
I got it.
Go ahead.
So how did you manage to do that, Anthony?
Well, I just thought a lot harder than I usually do and used the bombers a little bit to my advantage. And
hold that mic up close to you.
Yeah, just stick it up close to your mouth. Put it on your chin would be the best thing.
Anthony, is this your first year racing?
Pretty much. In the Cowboy Cadillac.
Yes. And what did you start out racing with?
Four-cylinder in Port Charlotte.
Four-cylinder in Port Charlotte. So now you moved up to Cowboy Cadillacs. What's next for you?
I'll be doing pure stock next year and half the time in fast truck.
Half the time pure stock, half the time in fast truck. Moving up to a truck there, Jack.
Truck racer?
Well, he's already been racing trucks. Full size.
Well, no, Cowboy Cadillacs.
Yeah,
truck,
but he's moving
right?
up to a fast truck.
One of them trucks.
Still stop singing. So you had a little bit of sampling of the pure stocks this year.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, started a couple races and had fun in them.
All right. What's the difference, though, that you feel in the pure stock to the Cowboy Cadillac?
There's some more traffic, and it gives me a little more experience.
In the driving, though, I mean, does it handle the same, or is it different?
Pure stock handles a little bit better.
A little more power?
Yeah.
A little more power, more tires to the ground and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Do you do anything with the handling? I mean, set up with the truck or anything?
Like doing what?
He does what? Alan, if we got
I hear the walls talking.
Come on, Alan.
Alan, front and center.
Somebody explain who Alan is.
Grab a chair there.
He's raced a little this year. He's probably one of the biggest sponsors out there at DeSoto.
Yes,
hand him that microphone. Right. Well, switch microphone.
Switch microphone. Yeah.
There you go.
Switch. Huh? There we go.
Alan, introduce yourself, please.
Alan Bragg.
You got a
phone? Well, you really can't be that far away from
Alan Bragg, Anthony's uncle.
Anthony's uncle. And? What do you do out there at the track, though? I mean, you sponsor. Jesus, half the classes.
Well, we just help people to help themselves. We like to see guys out there that's working real hard, give them that little edge, get over the top, you know.
That's a nice thing
about
to do, too.
Well, I mean, really, though, he does. He helps a lot of drivers that, in a lot of ways, don't get help out there at the track.
That's what we look for, the underdog, you know, the guy that's struggling hard. We get a lot of help from a lot of people out there. The Best Boys, Mr. Best, they've been unbelievable. You know, originally we were with Clint Roberts and all them. Clint built a 90 car. He did an unbelievable job in that car. Jimmy said it's one of the best pure stocks he's ever driven. We're just getting it dialed in now. We just want to, you know, we just like to do good. It's all about having fun and making friends and stuff like that.
I kid Clint when I go by there because it says the Clint, or the Roberts Muffler Shop, used to be Roberts Family, his Muffler Shop. I keep telling it's a racing shop.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty much. Alan, you just kind of appeared at DeSoto all of a sudden. You were there. You know, what's your background in racing? How long have you been around? Where did you get started?
We're mostly drag racers. We're from the Bradenton area. I was on the road for a while with my company, and I came in off the road to run it here, and Anthony was going to the track with us. We were real interested. I wanted to get him involved in it. I wanted to get involved in it. So him and I went to the junkyard one day and bought an old truck, and we were going to build a Cowboy Caddy. And went to Clint to talk about a cage and found out Clint was a lot more talented than what I'd known, and just kind of got with him and run with it for a while. And then next year we're going to Dwayne Best is going to be driving one of our pure stocks. We're going to make a run at the championship. Anthony will be driving the other pure stock car. And then Randy's going to be jumping from bombers. As you know, we bought the 35 from Terry this year, and we're going to put a crate motor in it and sponsor Randy. It's Randy's car, but we're going to be a sponsorship for him. He he's going to make a run for the points championship also.
Now, how do you feel about that crate motor deal with those pure stocks versus...
Well, I brought them in, so...
Right, but I mean, you know, a lot of guys are sticking with, you know, what they build, their house motors and stuff like that, but it seems like that crate motor is more durable.
Well, and yeah, more it's about that. The only thing, I've got one motor that's over 2 years old. We just put a set of valve springs in it. The only thing we've done to it up to that point is change the oil plugs.
What's a pure stock cost these days?
I mean, if you want a front runner, you're going to have $7,000 in it easy. You
know? In the car?
In the car, in the running gear.
In the motor and everything?
$7,000? If you're going to do it right, I mean, you know, I'm not being a smart about it. But
No, I understand.
Yeah, if you're going to do it right and you're going to pay, you're going to use quality parts. You know?
Well, to me, that's not such a bad
thing. $7,000 is reasonable.
No, you know, I was going to say, because I remember back in the mid-90s, they started a class out there called the Novice Stocks, remember?
What pure stock
was which was supposed to be like just a very inexpensive class, affordable class. Go buy a junk car out of a junkyard and put a roll cage in it, and you're running. Well, within 2 to 3 years, they had some of those guys had $5,000-$6,000 in
the motor.
In the motor. So what you're saying is that's a good thing.
I mean, I have way too much money wrapped up in the 90, if you want to be truthful for it. But I paid for everything that was done to it. Yeah. We don't have time to do a lot of this ourselves, right. So I have to pay for that. Yeah, right. But at the same time, Clint was doing a lot of other work for me because we have quite a few vehicles that's underneath our umbrella. You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can't put all the cost to the 90, you know what I mean? But it's $3,000 for a crate motor. I've got 2 years on it and never have the valve covers off of it. So, I mean, it's an initial expense at first. But Timmy just rebuilt a Vortec motor last week for his Suburban, and he had $2,500 in machine shop working parts before you've even done any labor.
So are other tracks around the South, do they do this in Florida and around other southern states?
Not that I know of.
Great motors at that?
These are real popular up north. Yeah. And I'm from Florida, but I just kept talking to the gentleman at Jegs and telling him what we were doing.
This is a Jegs motor, right?
Yeah, it's a Jegs. It's a GM performance motor. Right. It's the same price no matter where you buy it. Yeah.
We're up north.
What do you mean?
What you said they're popular up north?
Well, in the Midwest, as far as all the crate, the dirt tracks and stuff like that. I got to know them because my family's from the Newark, Ohio area. Yeah, big drag racing area there. Zionsville, they're big dirt track and stuff. And that's what the guys was telling me about those GM crate motors. And it's a great, the first year you have a warranty with them. You send them back for $1,500. You get a fresh motor back the following year with another warranty. Or they'll take an R&D your motor if it's the first year of running and give you another brand new motor in place of it for $1,500.
These are sealed motors.
These are sealed motors. The only thing you can take off is the valve covers.
So pretty much, you know, but the sealed motor idea is when you go to tech, they're not tearing you down because
they don't go into the motor. They check everything else. You know what I mean?
What do you have to do? What do you have to present to the track though?
There's a serial number that's on the side of the block, and then you can hand them a book that comes along with it. But Rob's very familiar with it, but he can take that serial number and track it down, and that tells him exactly what that motor is.
So what do you like most about driving around the track?
Getting attention and just learning how to get in traffic and...
Racing.
Yeah, racing.
What do you think of this kind of attention, so to speak, getting out, getting on the internet radio system and talking to people that you don't even know and may not even know you, but are going to...
There's people from about 25 states on average, like last week.
Wait, let me look.
There are 25 states people were listening.
28,950 right now.
There he goes, here he goes.
That's a 5, not an 8, 25,000.
Oh, I'm sorry, 25,898.
See, he asked you that question. I'm not sure if he really... expected you to answer.
No, I did. I didn't expect him to start talking. But
try it again, Bill.
How do you feel about coming out to a place like this and actually being on, you know, an internet radio show and talking about your racing and what you're doing and knowing that people that don't know you are going to get their first impression of what they hear of you?
Feels good. It makes me stand out a little bit. Learn what I like to do and...
What do the kids at school think about you racing?
They think it's awesome.
They come out and watch a lot? You bring a lot of them to the track?
Yeah.
Well, you know, winning races like you did last week, that'll get you some attention, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good, right? I was going to ask, what were you thinking going down the backstretch, coming around to take the checkered flag?
I was like, all right, I finally did it.
You hadn't done it yet. You're getting there, but that is close. I'm sure you were excited. I mean, that's what I was thinking. It was first time. You got to be pretty dang excited.
Alan, what's your impressions of his racing first year?
It's more about we use this as a way to teach him because he is a young man and he has responsibilities. And it's more about that. I'm biased. I love watching him drive. I get on him when I think he's messed up. But it's hardly ever happened because Anthony usually does exactly as I ask him to do when we go out. We haven't went out every race to win. We went out to learn. You know? And you've seen him spin it out 100 times, you know what I mean? And he finally learned how to quit doing that. And driving the pure stock really helped him a lot. He kind of comes leaps and bounds with that. You know? I mean, it is what it is, but he does the overall picture, and we're very happy.
Well, Alan, what you're doing is absolutely fantastic because the young people are the future, not only of us, but it's the future of racing without a doubt. And, you know, to go out and help these kids is, like, absolutely cool. I mean, that's way cool.
That and the way you're helping the people out there to track the different drivers. The drivers that, you know, the ones that you're really helping are the ones that you usually see on Saturday night that don't have sponsors on their
way. Exactly. I mean, that doesn't usually, I'm not looking at the late model guys. I mean, these guys are friends. I'm just helping friends out. That's all it is. And most of the time, they've helped us out somehow, some way, and you just don't see it. You know what I mean? But it pretty much in the pits, everybody's friendly. You know?
Yeah.
And then we race on the track, and then we're friends again. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I always hope you can keep it that way.
No, you know.
Sometimes ego is the only thing that gets in the way.
Yeah, big deal. Let's race again next week. Yeah. Let's see it all happen.
How much time have you spent working on that truck? Have you spent a lot of time working on your truck and getting ready? Have you been able to do that?
He spends all day Saturday working on it. Mm-hmm. He has a pretty full schedule because he has a job.
That's
and
good.
Has a lot of responsibilities at home also.
How old are you?
15.
Cool. 15, got a job, got a truck.
Responsibilities at home.
That's where you're
going. Doing good in school.
Single.
Oh, yeah.
Straight A student.
Straight A student.
Got a girl.
And a really good kid. At
he's got about 100 of them.
First one, we just picked up another 200.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's really cool. Bill, I think we're coming up on our break now. So
Anthony, real quick, your sponsors.
Easton Racing, TNA Automotive, Sunshine Towing and Transport.
That's it.
Now, anybody you want to thank?
Always looking for sponsorship.
I want to thank Jimmy and Dwayne Best. They came and helped us a lot when our cars were down, and I was struggling with trying to get them back up again. And as you can see with the results lately, we've had a really good last couple of months.
Yeah, them cards are awesome.
Would you guys want to stay and hang out with us for a while tonight?
Yeah, I think so.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good. Maybe we'll get a chance to talk after.
Okay.
Cool.
We've got a lot of other guests.
Ladies and gentlemen, Anthony Easton, Alan Bragg from DeSoto Super Speedway. Thanks a lot, guys.
We appreciate it.
But this family right now needs, first of all, a lot of players and support. Disease is, it's a form of leukemia. It's going to be at Orlando Speedway. It's going to be December 8th and 9th. And it's a unique deal. Nobody's ever done one. It's a 200-lap truck race. And that's what I want. I want it to be run professional, fair, but in the end, everybody has a good time and the family benefits. And it's basically it. We're going to have mini cup races, legend cars, and we're going to have the big truck race. But the neat thing on Friday night is we're going to have first round qualifying for the trucks. Then we're going to run the mini cups, junior mini cups, the mini cup, adult guy. And then we're going to have barbecue and music and a celebrity auction. It's going to be at Orlando Speedway. It's going to be December 8th and 9th. And it's a unique deal. Nobody's ever done one. It's a 200-lap truck race.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius. Today we salute you, Mr. All-You-Can-Eat Buffet Inventor.
Mr. All-You-Can-Eat Buffet Inventor.
You've given us the real American dream. A tray, 15 feet of food, and a little sign that says, Go nuts, buddy.
Pinch me, I'm dreaming.
Pushing side dish innovation to its limits, you offer creamed everything and 400 flavors of gelatin.
Feed it, frenzy.
If there's beef, you'll chip it. If there's chicken, you'll fry it. And if there's gravy, well, then everything's going to be okay.
Thank God for the gravy.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, buffet boy. You know the way to a man's heart and a few hundred tasty ways to challenge it.
Mr. All You Can Eat Buffet in there,
Bud Light beer at Isaac Witchwood, Collins, Colorado.
Hi, I'm Wayne Jefferson, the driver of the number 1 Oklahoma Modified and number 94 Super 8 Mile. And you are listening to Real Racing USA on Short Track America.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I knew nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 that they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge, drastically reduced. Every used vehicle, drastically reduced. I about no one down. Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates and they reserve the right to buy back a vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Tucsons. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500 so that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
HomeZone. HomeZone sales and services, pinball machines, jukeboxes, and other game room items. Air hockey, pinball machines, slot machines, jukeboxes, video games, new and used reconditioned arcade games located in the heart of racing country in Greensboro, North Carolina. HomeZone ships nationwide. Check them out. Go to CarnacMedia.com and check out HomeZone. We can turn your family game room into the talk of the neighborhood. HomeZone.
Hey. Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
David, why don't you give him some final words?
Boy, tonight, huh? You know, again, and a lot of people say this, my dad said it, Wayne Jr. When Wayne Jr. Jr. talks about when he was eight, he's still the same height. I look around here and I see a lot of people that did a lot of things for me, whether it was Ron Mims at Ron's welding my radiator up that I knocked out the night before because I couldn't afford a new one and not charging me for it, or Robert Fulco building me motors, and I'm quite sure I still owe Robert Fulco money. I hope he doesn't want to square up here today. Mike Wakely, who gave me a shot to keep going all pro racing. And all the volunteer guys, I mean, you know, everybody that I paid by the cheeseburger, and most of the time I wouldn't let you get the cheese because there's 25¢ extra a lot of times. You know, you guys believe in me knew that we was fixing to move in with them. He said, I gotta do something, or you know, we're fixing to move back in. So, I mean, people like that just kept digging, it kept me in. And, I mean, I always loved the sport, and I never gave up. And, but my dad would never let me allow me to give up, or my wife, or anybody, because a lot of people believed me, even when I was destroying stuff. DW, if you guys know about that. I didn't always tear my own stuff up as much as I tear up before a barrel stuff, for some reason. But I just got to thank all you guys, everybody that's helped me, and everybody that's ever helped me. I know, you know, Butch Bryant and people that I always could go to, and they never turned me down at any given time, even when they didn't have the money. If they didn't have the money, they gave me their time and their effort, and they rode with me in the pickup trucks those late nights and early mornings, and when I was thinking that this was all it was ever going to be, was just, you know, just trying to get by, and just trying to get by. And I don't mind telling you, I like the situation I'm in a whole lot better now than I did back then. But I wouldn't trade that for anything in the world. My father, Reggie Rudiman, who I don't know that he and I have ever thrown each other football or played baseball, but we've been together a lot. We've raced all over the United States. We've been broke together. We've been at Victory Lane together. You know, he's made a lot of sacrifices for me to be where I am. And I owe him the world. My mother, who never wanted me to be a race car driver, but always supported me no matter what. You know, I'd say, Mom, I'm fixing to bounce a check because I wrote a check and I didn't have the money to buy tires, since she'd always cover for me. Or guys, you know, guys I race against. This guy here named Ivan Lloyd, you guys heard, and then heard him talk about. He was probably my fiercest rival on a lot of dirt tracks. We raced that. And outran me probably more times than I outran him. But Daryl, Michael, you stay away from him. I don't want you guys talking to him tonight. But guys like that who made me better because they raced me hard. You know, just there's so many people, and I know I'm leaving people out. And if I am, I apologize, because I love each and every one of you, and I appreciate what you've done for me. And next year's a big unknown, you know. New deal, new driver, new manufacturer. But if you guys see what Michael is building up there, I hope y'all will come see it, because it's pretty special. And I'm seeing guys in the fab shop that I've seen in other guys, you know, big name teams. I'm like, how do they get them? You know, or I know they'd never get this guy. And sure enough, he's hanging a body on a car or whatever. I mean, these guys are hiring some of the best talent that you can possibly buy. And that's not an easy task. So, again, everybody, family, my Uncle Wayne, who did my cylinder hits for nothing when I couldn't afford anything, you know, everybody that kept me racing, because if it wasn't for y'all, I couldn't have made it to the next race, and that's all I thought about, was making it to the next race. And I'm still like that, you know? Still need to make the next race. So, again, thank you, everybody, for coming. It's unbelievable how many people have come out here. I'm blown away by it. I never expected this. You guys did an incredible job. Jennifer Chappell, who does my PR, she gets me way more exposure than I ever deserve to get. Brooke and everybody who put this deal together, Michael, DW, thank you guys very much for giving me the opportunity to be here tonight, helping me come home and see everybody, because G-Hills is home, you know. But thank you guys.
How about that? That was last night. David Rudiman finally about, I don't know, must have been 9:30 or so, he finally took to the stage with his roast going on, and they asked him for some final words, and those were the words.
Those were some good words right there.
And that proves to me why Burger King and Domino's and Aaron's have come on board, is that is a genuine from the heart. None of that was written down or anything. He's just that kind of person. That's just who he is. And that started with his grandfather, Emil, who taught them boys to be respectful of other people, be respectful of your equipment, and work hard, and you'll come out on top.
That's sweet that they're going to put the 00 on that car, too.
00. How cool is that? They didn't ask them. They weren't sure they'd be able to get it, but for the cup ride. But it was going to be available, so they got it.
And this past weekend, he finished 17th. Was it 17th?
Sixth.
Yeah,
he's sixth in the truck.
Talladega.
Yeah,
first run at Talladega. If you see him coming off turn two, he's like 8 feet from the lead because they're like five wide. But he got touched a little bit, did a little wiggle, had to back off just a second, and that put him, he get lost some momentum, and they go trucking on by into three. But
yeah, we've been back here doing this show for about 6 weeks now, and we've had it sitting in these chairs here probably 15 or 20 youngsters.
No doubt.
And in the next 6 weeks, we'll have another 15 or 20 youngsters sitting in them seats, and every one of them needs to listen to that.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
And one thing to remember here is we've just been talking in the last few weeks about that lost generation of racers, that guy that is 36 years old, and that's how old David Rudiman is. He's 36 years old, but getting his opportunity to go, you know,
he's on the high side.
NASCAR racing.
Well, how long has he been racing for Waltrip, though, Darrell, in the truck?
Three and a half. He got half of the first one.
2004, so
he had a 3-year deal, and he got out of
33 is when he busted into NASCAR, basically.
That would be, well, he ran in 32 years of age. He actually ran for Nemechek, I think, those two races.
Okay. But still, I mean, that was just a 2-race deal.
That was it. That's all he thought he might ever get.
So really, at 36, he's stepped into the limelight.
Yeah.
Which he's going to do, too.
And I walked up and mentioned that, like I said earlier, to... it wasn't Michael, it was Darrell Waltrip. I said, Darrell, it's awesome that you guys have called David in the first place, and it's awesome that he's going to get this kind of opportunity at his age, because we've been talking recently about this lost generation of drivers and how they just kind of got jumped over. He says, you know, we took that into consideration because they were looking for somebody who would really be there, and that was one of the issues that Burger King kind of had. That's why it took a couple extra weeks. They had to convince him that this kid was well worth it. Come, let him come talk to you.
This adult,
prove it.
This adult was well worth it.
That's right.
Right. Exactly.
So I mean, it was just a good hard sell on their part, because they felt in their hearts, and if you talk to Bill Walker, you understand where he's coming from, because he really likes David, Lisa, the whole family situation, and who they are, where they came from, and so forth. So it's just really nice that he's gone out on a limb like that and kind of put David out there in the forefront and said, yes, this is our guy. This is the one we really want, and you guys really need to take a good look at him.
So next year's going to be like, what, a partial season?
It's a full season of Busch and Cup racing. Every race.
What I've got is... is absolutely wrong, then.
Yes, because they went for every one of them. That's the whole point. Aaron's has got the 99 car. He'll drive it in every Busch race, and he'll drive the 00 Burger King Domino's car.
Oh, okay. This is the schedule of what when they're going to fly the Burger King colors, when they're going to fly the Domino's.
They go back and forth, but yes.
And two big, huge sponsors.
Yeah, they're not bad.
Really good sponsors.
Domino's and Burger King are nationwide, and that's why Burger King, of course, having so many people that they would deal with, and so many people in the Burger King line of work that they wanted to deal with and be prepared for. They didn't want this to come out wrong. They wanted to come out on top and, you know, go against McDonald's and
the
Wendy's and all
the
people.
But like he said, he's still got to go out and make the races, because
next year they're
going to be like 54 full-time big teams in the Nextel Cup. It's going to be, it's going to be competition.
Well, I think not for the lack of a driver, not for the lack of a crew, because they're paying good money for crew, and not for good...
We're building a big race up.
We're not for lack of good owners.
On the line with us, we have Scott McAllister of McAllister Sports Management. Good evening, Mr. McAllister.
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing?
What's up, Scotty?
We're doing pretty good. We just got done. I don't know if you were listening or not. We just got done listening to some stuff from yesterday's announcement over at Rudiman Racing.
I did get to hear some of that, and congratulations to those guys. It's been a long time coming for David, and... I know what he's talking about back on the road when in the all-pro days with Mike Wakely and those guys, and it has been a long road for him, so congratulations to both guys. They really deserve it.
I got
to
tell you a really good story. Mike Wakely did a big part of the roast on David because he had David in the Pro Cup Series for 5 years, and they brought out a helmet because David is known, his family knows him as Beak because of his nose.
Yes, he does have a somewhat large...
So they brought out a helmet that had a special frontage piece to it on the face mask so that his nose would not get in the way and the helmet wouldn't be cocked over on his head funny.
But, Scott, you were at Talladega for the ARCA race, and a little bit later we're going to be talking to Michael Falk, who, of course, you know very well, and also Frank Kimmel and Stephen Wallace. Tell us about those. As a matter of fact, we're going to talk to Steven in about 10 or 15 minutes. Now, tell us about your adventure over there with the ARCA folks. What kind of mayhem was going on at Talladega?
It was mayhem. I tell you what, it was a long show, a three-day event. So the first day, you know, we just spent a lot just going through tech, and you had to make sure that you got your car in tech first, especially someone like Michael who doesn't have any points. So it's really a long time to wait to make sure you get through line. It's very important that you get through line that very first day so you, when you get out, you can get to practice on the track because you only get a limited amount of time, and we did not make it through. As a matter of fact, our car was stuck right there in the tech line. So the next day we came back, had to be there like 7 in the morning, of course, and so you had to finish teching the car, and then we pushed it over, and Mike came way out, and he stabbed it. Man, turned some really good qualifying times and good practice times, and he did a really, really good job. The place is immense. It's really just hard to describe how big it is. You know, many of us have been to Daytona, but it's even bigger than that, if you can imagine it. And just to watch them go down it in turn one, they disappear. And then all of a sudden you see them come way up on turn two, and they dig around the backside and kind of disappear again. And you see them up on turn three, and then when you come to the tunnel in three and four, you literally look up at this wall. It's straight up and down. I mean, when they're going flat out, it is a straight up and down wall. So it's pretty impressive just to go there and see how the tech park goes and how the practice works out. You know, I saw Mario there, and unfortunately, he didn't. He had some bad luck with motor bubbles, I believe. But
Mario
saw him out there, and yeah, he was digging really, really hard and turning some good practice times. And of course, Steve Wallace and Mike Wallace was there too. He was driving James Finch's car, and he was there. And you'll hear Frank later on. He'll probably give a lot of the credit to Mike Wallace, as many people did all weekend long for helping him through the front. He just had nothing to show for it, but. It really was an adventure, just like you said. And it's great to see how it works at the track that day. I sat right there. We pitted our pit boxes right where the Goodyear tires were, so every one of the Cup cars that came by, of course, had their tires checked. And so I got a chance to see literally every driver that was on the track, and got a chance to see Robbie Gordon do 195 miles an hour. So pretty awesome. Just a great adventure, like you said.
A lot different than standing on that little pit wall at USA, huh?
You know, you think even USA is just, you think it's big, and it is. I mean, it's 3/4 of a mile, but when you get to this track, 2.66 miles, like I said, they disappear. It's 55 seconds as we come around.
Scott, we're going to change gears with you real quick here. You and I have been talking a lot lately about this. You know, anybody having anything to do with Florida racing knows that the youth is not only taking over, it is the future. And why don't we talk a little bit about some of the marketing potential that needs to be tapped into here. I'll let you explain that a little bit.
You know, we've been talking for quite a while, Jack, and I think that there's some basic things that youngsters here in the state of Florida that are growing up and being involved in the racing industry that they need to take care of. And these basic things, you know, are just they're prerequisites to any type of motorsports activity that you're going to do. They're a precursor to anything that you're going to have to do. So, you know, those things just involve a comprehensive plan that many people just unfortunately disregard. And it's so vital to everyone's, you know, race program. And when you talk to some of these other drivers, like Frank Kimmel and Mike Falk, they'll be able to tell you, and you just heard from David Ruderman, how important sponsorship is and the relationship between yourself and your sponsors. Once you obtain that sponsor, how do you treat them? What is the next step? And how do you get more money? And how do you, you know, go about increasing it so you can take the next step to the next level? So I think it's very important for kids to really get started young these days. And when I'm talking young, I'm talking 8, you know, because many times by the time you're 18 years old, it's too late. And so it really is important for kids to get, you know, their habits down with the media that they interact with and how they go about, you know, providing their program to the people and outlets that are available.
And the most important race nowadays ever win is the race for sponsorship dollars.
It really is. It is the toughest race. Yeah, you're going to see people out there winning all the time. And, Mario Gonfalon is a prime example. And we see him each and every race. And he's able to do something here lately. And he's got himself a sponsor. But literally, the hardest working man I know in motorsports is Mario Gonfalon. and he worked hard on sponsorship acquisition. He has to.
What you need.
So that,
go ahead.
That's a really good example of somebody who works hard at it. But even with that, you know, nowadays there are just many more methods and more modern methods that people are utilizing in order to get that, to get their word out and to get their program out that you really need to do. Because, you know, unless you're up in Mooresville, and if that's where you want to go, if unless you're up there banging the doors down, you have to look at alternate methods of getting your word out, whether it be here in the state of Florida or regionally or nationally.
And you need these days you have to have a quality website that isn't just glitz and glamour, but actually exposes your marketing message out there and gets the sponsors that you do have recognition. And you have to have media, and you have to have press, and you have to have it done right.
You have to be pushing yourself really all the time on top of owners, on top of business people, on anybody that you want to do. I know nowadays, you know, when just like when we were up in Talladega, Michael and I, you know, he's been driving Ray Evernham stuff, and, you know, we went over there, and we said, hey, Ray, how are you doing? And he introduced me to him, a nice guy, and said, hey, can we come back tomorrow and speak to you, you know, speak to one of your drivers about how to get around the track, went around the next day, talked to his case. So, you know, it's really cool to be able to do that. So unless you're there at that track, you have to do the next best thing, and literally you have to shove yourself down people's throats and, you know, get it a tactful way, but you really have to do it.
And so I think these packages that you and I are laying out will be able to help a lot of these youngsters, particularly in the southern states where we're more accessible. I think it will be able to help some of these youngsters make those steps and get not just move up, but move up with confidence in their marketing programs.
Yeah, it's something that your marketing program really has to start out just the same as your driving program does. And once again, it's a neglected side of the motorsports industry. But on the smaller scale down in where we're from here in Florida locally, it's somewhat neglected. And
that's very neglected.
When you're able to take advantage of that neglection, then you can really, you know, it can turn out to be more than just a big hole that you're pouring money into. And you know, if it's something that you really want to pursue, then by all means, it's something that you have to have.
The one thing that I see over and over and over is the emphasis on winning races. And unfortunately, winning races does not necessarily get you the recognition you need. Sponsors want to see people who can present themselves the way that they want them presented as much as they do wins.
No doubt. I mean, you see drivers right now that haven't won in quite a while, and they have more money than everyone else out there. So, you know, if you're sponsor-friendly and fan-friendly, then you're going to get some results in that area. And it's like I said, you're going to talk to two of the best. I mean, Frank Kimmel, let's face it, he's had pork on his car since I don't know when. And Michael Falk, who really has to dig really, really hard for each and every sponsor that he gets, you know, and he really puts an effort into it. And you'll hear it when you talk to him. He's a very young, articulate young man, and he's practiced it, you know, and that's why he's good at it, because he literally practiced it, and you have to.
Scott, we're getting to the top of the hour, but give me like a 30 seconds here on what youngsters can do. What is the most basic thing, inexpensive, so to speak, that they can do to help themselves locally start working towards their marketing plan?
Yeah, tell me about the program that we're going to release here in a few days.
Yeah, I think the main thing to do is the most inexpensive way is to, first of all, start off with a website and begin building your database of contacts. And by database of contacts, I mean by going to your online Chamber of Commerce site, getting all the people's names that are in there, making sure they're on your mailing list, and consistently mailing these people constantly with your pre- and post-race press releases, and keeping your website up to date and making sure that it's current. Nothing is worse than a static web page. Because if you don't update it, people forget about you. So you have to stay consistent in that area. So those would be the two main things that I think that people can do for the least amount of money that would get you the most results.
Well, I tell you what, we appreciate you stopping by and talking with us. We got to hit the top of the hour here, but we'll look forward to talking to you again about a whole lot more stuff.
Okay, Jack, I appreciate it. Thank you guys very much.
All right, man. Thanks so much, Scott McAllister, ladies and gentlemen, as he hits the road. We'll look forward to talking to Frank Kimmel and Steve Wallace on the other side. What do you think, Rick? Pretty good?
Pretty good, man.
All right, dude. We'll be right back at the Schnooker Grill, Real Racing USA.